trained by love. And so let me start up with a song. If you know it, you're welcome to join me. If you don't know it, well, maybe you will when we get through. Amen. And when I came to Jesus, I settled it all. I gave him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but his love has captured my soul. I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and a willing little. Through the heat and the cold, I seek no reward in this world below. But my payday's gonna come, oh yes it will, when the pearly gates unfold. He holds me secure in his love so divine. I'm happy his servant to be. In bondage to Jesus forever I'll stay. Is my soul doesn't want to be free. Oh, I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and I'm willingly torn through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world below. Payday will come, oh yes it will, when the pearly gates unfold. Sing that chorus again. Oh, I'm a prisoner of love. I'm a slave to the master, and a willing little through the heat and the cold. I seek no reward in this world below, but payday will come, oh yes it will, when the pearly gates unfold. But my payday will come, oh yes it will, when the pearly gates unfold. Amen. Anybody a prisoner of love tonight? Not looking for a way out. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. We're going to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me begin reading with the 10th verse. Gives us a sense of what he's saying. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, reminded them, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that You may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Amen. I want to talk to you about being constrained by love. Constrained by love. You may be seated. One of the great words of life that determines so much is the word motive. It's important why we do things. As a matter of fact, perhaps in some cases it's just as important why we do things as the things we do. The Apostle Paul said that even giving alms and giving everything you had could be for the wrong reason. Even charity and giving things away can be for the wrong reason. So motive is very important tonight as to why you do what you do. The story is told of the rich man with the, what should I say, cosmetically challenged daughter. In the old times we'd call her homely. And he called all of the young men together from the countryside, and he was going to offer his daughter's hand in marriage. And he needed a little motivation, perhaps. And so he got all the young men on one side of the gigantic swimming pool that he had in his backyard. And he told the young men, he said, "Now this swimming pool is full of alligators. But the young man that is courageous enough to swim across this swimming pool is going to gain the hand of my lovely daughter in marriage, and besides that, he'll be heir someday to my fortune." He backed it up with a little extra. And about that time, one of the young men shoved his buddy into the swimming pool. And I'm telling you, alligators started snapping, and that young man turned on the speed. He swam across that swimming pool in record time. He jumped out of that pool dripping wet and flaming angry. And the father was just overjoyed. He said, "Son," he said, "what was it that motivated you? Was it the love and the beauty of my daughter, or was it my fortune?" And the young man said, "Neither. It's that fellow that shoved me in the swimming pool. When I get my hands on him, he's dead." So you see, he wasn't moved by love, and he wasn't moved by money. He was moved by revenge. There's all kinds of motives of why we do things that we do in life. The Old Testament gives us a good motive. The Bible speaks much about the fear of the Lord. And that's good. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, it is reverence and respect. Now, sometimes we learn reverence and respect by discipline. I did. Amen. I learned a lot. Now, I want to say very plainly here tonight that my folks were not in any way abusive. But they did know how to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge and get their point across. My father was greatly patriotic. He gave the stripes and I saw the stars. So, but they did believe in discipline. But you know, I learned through discipline that always when I was disciplined, it was for my good. Now, I didn't understand that when I was young. I certainly did not. When they would say, this is going to hurt me worse than you, I knew they didn't lie, but I questioned that. Not out loud, I didn't. But in my heart, I thought, nah, I know that you tell the truth, but this is hard for me to understand. But later on, I understood. And now I understand. But they instilled in me a deep respect. And I really believe tonight that the highest form of love is respect. Amen. There are different definitions of love. Some of what people call love is what we call puppy love. Amen. It's goo-goo eyes and butterflies. And you fall in and out of love every other day. I mean, I love him today and tomorrow. You know, I wonder what I saw in him. And I love her today. A week later, I wonder what I ever saw in them. That's not love. Amen. That's not love. Some people confuse lust with love. And that's something that you don't want to do. But when you, if you can respect somebody, then you love them. If you respect your mate, then you love your mate. Amen. And so it is something that is gained through the process of time. But the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's a requirement. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 12. The scripture says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" The first thing that he requires is to fear the Lord thy God. To respect him. Amen. To respect him. Amen. There's a lot of folks today, I'm very sorry to say, that don't have a lot of respect for God. When you respect the Lord, you're very careful about how you use his name. You don't get loose with it. Amen. We need to be very careful about that. Sometimes I hear people say Jesus when they don't really mean it. They're not praying and they're not praising. That's what you call using his name in vain. Time people say, "Oh Lord," when they're not praying and they're not praising. That's using his name in vain. You be very careful when you use the name of the Lord. Amen. Be very careful when you use the name of the Lord. Just if you gotta come up with something else, come up with something else. Amen. Say fiddlesticks or something, but leave the name of the Lord out of it. Unless you're praying, or unless you're praising, or unless you're testifying, then you leave his name out of it. Amen. I hope the Lord will quicken that to us and help us to do well with that little admonition. Amen. You know, we used to be taught years ago, and would it be all right to remind us again? Things have crept into the Pentecostal language today that didn't used to be there. Might be good if we just speak of those things again today. They're words we used to call them bywords. They're bywords because they replace using the Lord's name in vain or curse words. So it would be good if we would be cautious with those things. For the sake of education, I'll say some things tonight that I don't normally say, and just for your education, I don't know how else to do it. Amen. Sometimes I've heard people say the word gosh. Well, that replaces the word God. So if you don't really mean it, then just don't say that word. Find something else to say. Amen. whatever, tapioca, whatever you want to say. But just don't bring God into it. You don't need to. Amen. The word darn, of course, you can figure that one out. It's what stops up the water, in case you hadn't got it yet. And there's just words that we just need to leave alone. Amen. Geez. Well, what is that? What's the rest of that? You see, they're just, these are what we call bywords. And it would be better if we would learn to just leave those things aside. It would help our conversation to be more godly. Amen. I don't say that God's going to send you to hell. If you say that, I'm not saying that tonight. But I'm just saying, as a Christian, it would be better if we would just learn to really respect the name of the Lord. I've read this. I don't know. It's not necessarily written in the scriptures that I know of, but I've heard that when the priests were writing scriptures, and when they would come to the name of the Lord, they would get up and lay their pen down, and they would go change their clothes and bathe themselves and change into clean clothes, and they would get a fresh pen before they would ever write the name of the Lord. And the next time they came to it, they would repeat that all over again because of their high respect for the name of the Lord. Amen. Today we don't even know how to pronounce the word. We call it Jehovah. Some people call it Yahweh. We don't really know how to pronounce that because they left the vowels out of it so they wouldn't say it in vain. So when they wrote it, they just wrote the consonants, and so nobody really knows how to say that name. Amen. We have put some vowels in there for the sake of pronunciation. But why did they do that? Because they respected the name of the Lord. They feared the name of the Lord. So the Bible requires us to respect His name. It said that the first thing the Lord requires, He said, is to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's just simple things that the Lord requires. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, does it? Amen. You know what? If you know Him, it's easy to love Him. The only reason anybody wouldn't love God is because they don't really know Him. When you know Him, it's so easy to love Him. Amen. Praise God. The Bible teaches us that God is love. It's not just something that He does. It's not just an emotion that He has. But He is the origin. He's the creator. He's the source. He's the fountainhead from which all love flows. Without God, it would be impossible to even know what love is. Amen. Praise God. And so, the first thing we do and require is that we fear the Lord. The Bible said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. It's the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Wisdom is a little different than knowledge. Knowledge is facts and data about things that exist. But wisdom is knowing how to properly use knowledge to the best benefit. Amen. So wisdom, then, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's where wisdom proceeds from. So if you have respect to God, that's the beginning of it. You cannot have proper human relationships unless you have respect for God. One of the reasons that our North American society has fallen apart in the last 30, 40 years is because we have forgotten God. Amen. And if you have a relationship with another human being, it'll not be what it could be if that individual does not fear the Lord. Cannot be. Cannot be. When we take God out of the equation, and deny the Lord. The Bible said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. And so it's just the beginning of wisdom, and it just makes sense. For the life of me, don't really understand how we can look at a creation and not attach it to a creator. That we see the intricacy of our creation and our universe and the human body and all things created, and deny that those things are the object and in the work of a creator. That doesn't even make sense to me. Amen. The only reason that I can come up with that people do not want to believe in a God and a creator is because they don't want to be accountable for their actions and their deeds. And if there's a creator and we are his creation, then we are accountable to him. And isn't that how Paul started out saying, for we must all, everybody say all, we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, you don't have to believe that, but you're going to stand there. People don't have to believe in God, but the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. Everybody is going to stand there. Amen. Everybody is going to give an account. Amen. And so Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. The word terror was an interesting word. I looked it up, and it's in, of course, in the Greek, because this is a New Testament. And it comes from the word phobo, from which we get our word phobia, or fear. So that's the fear of that kind of a phobia, that kind of a fear. And so when we stand before the Lord, there's going to be an element of fear there. Now, when I was growing up, and my dad called me Johnny, then there was no fear. If mama said Johnny, or they call me Babe, my brothers call me Baldy. Amen, that was in the days of burr haircuts. And so they'd call me and there was no fear. But if I ever heard them say, Johnny Darryl, that was fear. I knew that I had been discovered and found out. And the wheels started turning. What have I done this time? and so that was some fear that came with that. Amen. Because they were doing something for my good again. Amen. And I wondered why it was for my good. I have figured it out now, because I've done some things for my daughter's good that she didn't understand. Amen. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible said that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Did you know that? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Amen. The fear of God gives you some good sense. It helps you. Somebody said that, I've heard people say that you really can't add to your days. Well, the Bible says you can. There's two things you can do that will prolong your days. The Bible said, honor your father and your mother. That's one way that you can prolong your days. Seems like somebody recently said that they brought somebody into the world and they could sure take them out. That's honoring your father and your mother. Amen. And so that's one way that you prolong your days. And the second way, he said, is the fear of the Lord. It just helps you to live right and make right decisions and do right things. Amen. Fear of the Lord will keep you from falling into some of the fleshly habits that will destroy a human being. Isn't that right? The news today, and one of the headlines, and it must be something really sad, really tragic. I didn't go into details, but some young Hollywood starlet is literally destroying her life. And they all seem concerned about that. And I hope that she gets turned around. That's a travesty. But she's given herself wholesale to chasing after drugs and pleasure and all the rest of it. And it's telling. It's destroying her physical body. Amen. You see, but the fear of the Lord will help you. It'll protect you. Amen. You know what? If you keep yourself sexually pure, and you marry a mate that kept themselves sexually pure, you don't have to worry about venereal diseases. You don't have to worry about AIDS. Hello? I know that's plain, but we live in a plain time. Amen. That's right. That's right. You don't have to worry about that. Because that's the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Amen. That's just what the Scripture teaches. Amen. And you abstain from the pleasures of the flesh and other areas and learn how to push the plate back when you have had enough. I'm going to meddling now. Amen. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot. That's just wisdom. And do we learn wisdom whenever we fear the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of us appear fat, but we have leaky lungs. Or something. I can see a picture of chocolate cake and gain 3 pounds. It seems that way. It's really not. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It helps us prolong our days. The Scripture said in the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Amen. You know, when you love God and you respect God and you fear God, there's a confidence that comes with that. Because you walk in a path that you know is a right path. Perhaps you remember the story that we told of a playground where the children were playing, and they noticed that they were always climbing on the fence. And they were afraid they were going to get hurt, so they just tore the fence down. And when they tore the fence down, the children huddled in the middle of the playground, and they wouldn't go near the outer perimeter. Because, you see, they didn't know where the boundaries were. There's something about, even if you challenge the boundary, at least you know where it is. And when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you have some boundaries in your life. Amen. One of the things I noticed in some other countries I've been in and here, there's not a lot of safety devices in other places. Here, when you go on a mountain road, almost always there's a guard over there. But in Colombia, they don't know what those are. And so there's not any guardrails, and there's just a little bit of extra safety there, if you know that there's something between me and the side of the mountain. And when you walk in the fear of the Lord, there's a commandment and there's a law and there's something that guards you and keeps you, and you know where the boundaries are. So the fear of the Lord is important to us because at least we know where the boundaries are. Amen. And so one of the great motives of life is the fear of the Lord. Then Paul mentions another quickly in these verses that we read to you a little bit earlier. He mentions those that glory in appearance. I read a story years ago about a prominent family, well known in our country. And the founder of that family taught his children this. He said, it does not matter what you are. It only matters what people think you are. In other words, he said, it's all about image. It's what they think you are. That's what's important, not what you really are. Now, the Scripture teaches the opposite. Amen. The Bible teaches that as a man is, thinketh in his heart, so is he. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it the heart of the issues of life. Jesus said, it's not what goes into your mouth and into your body that defiles you, but it's what comes out of your heart. It's the heart. That's the critical thing, is that we keep that inner man. That's what's vital and most important of all things, is that you have a good and a clean heart. Amen. That's vital tonight. It's not so much what people think, but there are, one of the motives of life is to gain favor with people. And there are some people who are really good at that. They know how to butter people up and who to butter up. Amen. I usually run with the wrong folks somehow. Never has turned out real well for me, except Jesus. Amen. But I've learned that if I run with him, you know, one reason I like to hang around Jesus, because I like his friends. Amen. I love love and I love joy. And I love peace, and I love righteousness, and I love generosity, and I love goodness. Amen. And I love all of the things that are about him. Amen. And so that's why I like to hang out with him. And I like you. Amen. Let me rephrase that. I love you. Amen. I like some of you, but I love all of you. Amen. Somebody said we like people because, and we love people in spite of. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, go figure. Amen. Let me hurry along here before I get in too much trouble. Amen. And so that's one of the motives of life is just for appearance sake. Amen. Just, you know, some people, they like to see and be seen. I've even run into Pentecostals like that. I've run into Pentecostals that they're real friendly when it's just us and ain't nobody else. But then if we're in the company of somebody else, then they don't know we exist. I've had people, we had the greatest fellowship and the best time, and then another place and another time, they didn't even know who I was. Amen. Didn't even know that we'd ever met. Amen. And so that's one motive, all right. But that's not the right motive. Paul said, he said, the love of Christ constrains me. There are some things that we will only do for the love of God. Now let me tell you something tonight. The only way that you can truly, successfully serve God is because you love him. You've got to fall so in love with him. You can't serve him because your mom and daddy want you to. You can't serve him because the church and the pastor tells you to. You can learn how to keep the rules and the regulations. You can learn how to get the hair right and the clothes right. And the right vocabulary, and you can learn when to stand up and when to sit down and when to clap. Amen. When to say amen, when to run, when to shout. You can learn how to do all of that. But if you don't learn how to really love Jesus, that's the only motive that really counts. That's the only motive that really counts. It's when you really fall in love with Him. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jesus said this is the greatest of all the commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy... He said, that's the greatest of all of the commandments. Ever, that is the post and the hinge that the gate swings on. Everything else is subject to that. That you love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Amen. Everybody say love. That's what constrains us. That's all. I've known Christians, even Pentecostal Christians, that didn't have a lot of love in their heart. They couldn't have the way they talked about other people. Amen. Praise God. That's all right, isn't it? You know, we just need to be honest about things. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I think John, you know, he's the apostle. He didn't say rough stuff, did he? John was sweet and kind and gentle. Amen. He said, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And then he said, if any man say he love his brother and whom he hath seen, and he hates his brother, that and he says he loves God whom he's not seen. He said, if you can't love his brother, he's a liar. What was that little saying they used to say? Hallelujah. We love, we know. We're going to shout up there. Amen. We got to learn to shout together down here. Amen. If we don't love one another down here, we're not going to get up there. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. It's okay, because it's love. We're just preaching love. Some people say, "Oh, preaching love. That's such a soft thing. That's not the tough stuff." Oh, that's the tough stuff. All right. Amen. It's a lot easier to wear your hair right than it is to love somebody. It's a lot easier to get your clothes right than it is to love somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. And so we're constrained by the love of God. That's what keeps us. That's what captures us. That's what holds us. Amen. Sometimes when you want to run, that's what keeps you still, is the love of Christ. Amen. I know that pastoring is probably the easiest job in the world. You just preach three times a week, and that's it. Just figure three sermons, and that's got to be easy. Amen. But I'm telling, there are times that, and I don't mean this. And of course, it wasn't here. This was another place. Other people had nothing to do with you. Amen. But in that place, it got so tough. And I told the Lord one time, I said, God, I said, you couldn't pay me to do this job, but I'll do it because I love you. Amen. You couldn't pay me to do this, but I'll do it because I love you. Amen. But don't quit paying. That kind of helps a little bit. But whether you do or whether you don't, then I'm going to love him. And I'm going to stay as long as he tells me to stay. And I'm going to give it all I got because I love him. Amen. That's the reason that you're constrained. Amen. It keeps you. It keeps your feet planted. Amen. It keeps you from running when you really want to run. It keeps you from going when you really know that God tells you to stay. Amen. Just because you love him. It's vital today we really learn to love the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's where that kind of love comes from. It comes from God. When you got the Holy Ghost, do you remember how much it made you love everybody? Amen. I've prayed with folks at the altar, and when their eyes come open, if they're hugging folks, you're going to get hugged. Now, so not every, don't make everybody hugging people, but if they're huggers, you're going to get a hug, because they're going to grab you, because they're full of the love of God. Amen. It's totally a pure thing, but they're just full of the love of God. Amen. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost and how wonderful it felt and how I loved everybody. Amen. And we even used to sing that song, "Makes Me Love Everybody." Amen. And it really does. And it still does. Praise God. If you're having difficulty loving somebody, then just pray through. Get full of the Holy Ghost, and you'll love them again. Amen. Praise God. I've heard somebody say, I can't stand that person, and you need to pray through. You need to pray through. Amen. Praise God, because there's no room in this thing for hating people and not being able to stand your brothers and your sisters. Amen. Brother Grissom's at work. Oh yeah. You get full of the love of God and you see how much He loves you in spite of yourself, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your humanity and your frailty, and you understand how much God can love you, then it will help you to love others. And forgive them also their frailty and their humanity. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody here not made any mistakes? If you have, then you can cast the first stone. Amen. Praise God. I'm not really fearful anybody's going to throw any tonight, because if you need me to point something out, I think I could. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good tonight? Amen. That's where love comes from. Amen. And the love of God keeps us. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 said, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him." How can you be more than a conqueror? The way you're more than a conqueror is because you won the fight and didn't have to fight. Somebody fought for you. He won the victory 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Yeah, I said He won the victory 2,000 years ago. And we walk in His victory. Hallelujah. And we stand in His strength. And we overcome His might. Hallelujah. Because He's more than a conqueror. Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what's going to keep you, folks, is the love of God. That's what's going to keep you. You got to keep reminding yourself, amen, that He loves me and I love Him. Hallelujah. And this is what's going to help us to make it through. We're going to love one another. Jude 21, he said this. He said, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Amen. Keep yourselves. How do you keep yourself? Well, in the love of God. You stay in love with Jesus and you'll keep yourself. You'll keep yourself in righteousness. You'll keep yourself in holiness. You'll keep yourself in purity. You'll keep yourself right with God. You'll keep yourself right with your brothers and sisters. Amen. If you're full of the love of God. Hello. Hello. Amen. You get full of self and you get in trouble. You get full of pride, you get in trouble. You get full of jealousy, you have trouble. But if you keep yourself in the love of God and you stay full of the love of God, then you can love everybody. Now, amen. I'm convinced. You'll never convince me that my mama didn't love me. But she could point out some areas where I needed improvement. My parents never got that thing about, self-worth. They never understood that they were supposed to always build up my little self-ego. Tell me how great I was and how wonderful I was, and not ever say anything negative. There's some eggheads today in education. That don't believe in putting X's on papers if you're wrong. Because they say that will hurt the child's self-esteem. My teachers didn't care about that. They put big old red marks on there. And they'd pass them out in the class. Didn't care if anybody saw them or not. We even, back in this, I'm not saying this is the greatest idea, but you remember when they used to make you change papers and somebody else would grade your paper? Now that was embarrassing. Unless it's Brother Hart, of course. He didn't care who graded his papers. He's going to get 100 anyway. Well, I'll tell you what, whoever graded mine at least felt better about it. I made them feel good because theirs probably wasn't any worse. Amen. But it's all right. Look how smart I turned out anyway. You can get educated even after school. If you don't do good while you're there. That's the main thing. Amen. The Bible teaches us that we've got to keep ourselves in the love of God. Amen. Now the Lord loves you, but He will correct you. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Amen. Now God, if the Lord hasn't corrected you, then you better check and see if you're one of His kids. He won't whip the devil's kids, but He'll thrash you. My mom and dad, you know, they wouldn't correct other people's kids like they did me. But I'm telling you what, if they saw me doing wrong, they were quick to point it out, and they didn't worry about it. Amen. They were real quick to set the record straight. Amen. And so God's the same way. He loves you, and if you're His child, He will correct you. Now let me teach you something about the love of God. The Lord will restore you before He corrects you. God will never whip you while you're down. He won't whip you when you're down. He'll restore you. He'll make sure that you know that He loves you. And then He'll take care of business. But God doesn't whip people when they're down. Amen. He just doesn't do that. He's in the restraint. With the prodigal, we call him the prodigal son, the lost son. He didn't whip him when he was down. He restored him first. But I'm going to tell you tonight, He didn't finish the whole parable. That was the parable of restoration. But I guarantee you, after He got through with some calf in His mouth and wearing some clothes and looking at the ring on His finger, He said, "Now, son, we need to have a talk." Amen. Now, that's not recorded, but that's what would happen. Amen. And then they got down to some serious business. God will never correct you and beat you when you're down. That's just not the way He does it. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Let me close with Revelation chapter 2. The Lord wrote to a church in the city of Ephesus. And He said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left, by say left, not lost, but left thy first love. He's serious about this. He doesn't want anything less than our best. He said you left your first love. Now, again, sometimes I've misquoted that, and I've heard others misquote it. Sometimes we say they lost. They did not. They didn't lose it. Have you ever lost something? Had somebody ask you, well, where'd you lose it? Well, if I knew where I lost it, it wouldn't be lost. So you don't lose your love. You leave your love. And if you leave something, you know where you left it, and you know how to get back to it. So the Lord said you left your love. And then in the next verse, he tells them how to restore their love. First, he says, remember. Remember. Are we really loving the Lord like we used to love the Lord? Do we worship him like we used to love him? Do we have that same passion that we used to have? You see, that's important. That's important. I think it's a wise prayer. I don't know who prayed it first that said, Lord, as I grow older, don't let me grow colder. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Amen. But help me always to stay on fire. Help me to stay aflame with the love of God. Amen. So the first step, he said, is remember. If you're not as in love with Jesus as you used to be, remember what it was like. Amen. And then he said, repent. Repent means to turn and walk that direction. Take a good trip back down memory lane. Amen. To where you first received him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to that first night that you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, and the glory of God came down and kissed the earth, and you were in the middle of the smack. You remember that? Praise God. Just repent and go back to that place. And then he said the next thing is you got to do your first works. What are the first works? Well, you got to repent like you repented then. And you've got to be sincere like you were sincere then. And you've got to be hungry like you were hungry then. And you've got to have the faith that you had then. And you've got to have the passion and desire that you had then. And you've got to pray through like you did then. And you've got to worship like you did then. And you've got to love God like you loved him then. And that's how he restores first love. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your time.